Morning.
Morning.
That's why the pastor can never find his Bible. He leaves it everywhere. I'll put it down here. He'll know just where it is. I'll forget to put it back out, and he'll be looking for weeks for that thing. What did I do with it? Today I'm going to talk to you about Peter. And Peter is a guy that's very, I can relate to Peter because Peter's very excitable. He's a doer. He don't always think things through because he'll get in the middle of a mess and Jesus is pulling him out. But I can relate to him. But one thing about Peter was very passionate about his Jesus. And if you talk to my wife, I'm very passionate about my Jesus. Sometime to the point that she probably gets a little annoyed sometimes or gets tired of me ranting about how society and how the church has changed and not so much for the better. But we're going to examine Peter today. We're going to look at his life and we're going to see how we can apply it. Look at his life and his service to Christ, how we can apply our service to Christ. So we're going to go through the Bible. I'm up here. It's going to happen. We're going to go through some scripture, and bear with me. Once we get to the scripture, then we'll get to the meat and potatoes. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone, but the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to him, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the waters." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And then they got into the boat and the wind stopped. Let God add his blessing to the reading, the seeing, and the hearing of his word today. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the opportunity to come out and hear your word, dear Lord God. We just pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth from your word today what we need to hear, and pray that you allow it to fall on fertile ground, that you allow us to take your word and apply it to our lives and use it to witness to our fellow men and friends and family and bring honor and glory to your name through it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. A little background on Peter. Peter was a fisherman. He was a common man. In Peter's day, young men were tested around 10 years of age to see if they were gifted enough to go on to study the law or the Torah and to become rabbis or Pharisees or Sadducees to study the law. Peter didn't make that mark. Peter was not special by any means, or not extraordinarily educated or gifted. He was a fisherman, common guy. His name Simon in Hebrew means to hear or listen. Jesus called him Peter, or Cephas. Peter means rock in Greek. Cephas means rock in Aramaic. So from day one, Jesus called him, said, "You're Simon, of who I will call Peter." So basically, Jesus called him on that day and said, "You are going to be my Rocky. You are going to be my champion." Peter and Andrew, they were brothers. They were the first disciples called, and they were both had been disciples of John the Baptist. So Peter was not new to the discipleship business. Peter is referred to 183 times in the Bible. He is mentioned in 9 books of the Bible, and he's authored 2 books. Not bad for a fisherman, huh? If you turn to your Bibles with me, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Immediately. There's a statement. Jesus walked by, says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they followed him immediately. Didn't worry about their wife, their kids, their families, their jobs. How many of us, if a guy walked in to where we were working and said, "Follow me," would we drop everything that we were doing and follow him immediately? Peter did, and we know Peter had a family because Jesus healed his mother-in-law, right? The Bible tells us so. But Peter stopped what he was doing and followed Jesus immediately. Then we get to the text where Jesus walks on water. He's in the boat. Jesus comes out. He says, "Lord, if you call me," Jesus calls him. He walks on the water. And what happens in that scenario? What does Peter do in that? He takes his eyes off Jesus, doesn't he? He's looking at Jesus. Jesus calls him. He's watching Jesus. He walks on that water. And then he starts looking at the waves and the wind and fear and doubt. And he takes his eyes off Jesus. And what happens? He starts to sink. What's he do? Like the rest of us when we're in trouble, "Jesus, help me." Because that's what we do, right? We live in a self-help society, right? We got books, do it yourself, do your kitchen, do your bathroom, do your lawn, you know. Fix my gambling problem. We got a book to fix anything. Or we got CDs to fix anything. Or we can go online and take a webinar to fix our problems. Because we don't need anybody's help, right? We can fix our own problems. We're a self-help society. We love to help ourselves. And then when we're in over our head, then we "Jesus, help me." Worked 8 years in the jail, and the first thing they want when they come to jail is a blanket, because it's cold in there on that block and steel, and a Bible, because they're in trouble. That steel door is closed, so what do? They want a Bible. Where's the chaplain? Call the chaplain. I'm in trouble. I need Jesus. Peter did the same thing. If you go to Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 2, and I promise you we'll get to the meat and potatoes. We'll get to the point here. I'm just giving you a little background into Peter's life. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34. This is after the Last Supper. This is before the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus is about to tell Peter that his big chance is coming up here. Luke 22, verses 31 through 34. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And he said to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go to prison and to death. So there's Peter. And Peter's not the perfect disciple. Peter's not the perfect man, but Satan demanded permission from Jesus to shift him like wheat, to tempt him. Think about that. The devil had to ask permission to tempt Peter. And what's Peter say? Oh no, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to the cross. I'm ready to do anything that I have to. How many times have we been there? Jesus, one more time. Just one more time, I'll throw them cigarettes away. Just one more time, I won't take a drink. Just one more time, I won't gamble anymore. Just one more time, I won't look on the internet at the naked women. Just one more time. How many of us have been there? And he picks us up and builds us up, and then we're ready. We're ready. I'm not going to watch pornography. I'm not going to take a drink of beer with my friends. I'm not going to smoke that funny cigarette with them. I'm not going to scratch the lottery tickets off. And then what happens? Here comes your friends. And you go right back into that position where, boom, the old devil's waiting. Go, all right, come on, go out with them. Go out with them. Turn that computer on. Oh, you can just buy one lottery ticket and scratch it off. John chapter 18, 10 to 11 is where Jesus is arrested. And Peter, in his anguish, draws his sword and cuts the guard's ear off. Because he loves Jesus. He don't want Jesus to get arrested. Luke chapter 22, verses 56 through 62. This is where the devil asked to tempt Peter. Jesus is arrested. He's took to the chief priest. Luke 22, 56 through 62. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, this man was with him too. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, another saw him and said, you are one of them too. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after about an hour had passed, another man begin to insist, saying, "Certainly, this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, a cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a cock crows today, you will deny me three times." Jesus just told him about that. Think about that. You spend all this time with this guy. You love Jesus. You know he's the Son of God. You say, "I will do anything for you, Jesus." And when a time comes, Peter's human side turns out, right? He's scared of going to jail. He's scared of getting whipped. He's scared of being crucified. He's scared, just like we all get scared. But not only did Jesus tell him, but the exact second he repeats that third, "I do not know him," the rooster crows and Jesus stares right at him. Jesus didn't have to hear. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Peter could have changed the outlook. He could have prayed. He could have fasted. He could have been more prepared. But it didn't happen that way. It was a busy time. Peter was too busy. The Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was getting arrested. He didn't have time to pray. Didn't have time to fast. Did not have time to prepare for that temptation. Sound familiar? We're all too busy. John 20, chapter 21. Here we're going to get to the meat and potatoes. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, 15 through 17. This is after Jesus has been crucified. He's arrived on the third day. He's rose on the third day. He's appearing to his disciples. He's by the road, by the sea. They've ate fish. And now he's talking to Peter. Verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter, being the high-strung guy that he was getting frustrated. Because here comes the third time. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." What Jesus was doing was building Peter back up. Because Peter was Jesus' rock, the foundation of the church that we see today. If he would not have built Peter back up, and Peter would not have received the Holy Spirit, if Jesus wouldn't have brought Peter back up, if Peter wouldn't have regained his self-confidence and his, we wouldn't have the church we have today. I just spent this time showing you that Peter was not an extraordinary person. Peter was like us. But Jesus knew from the minute that he called him that he was going to be the rock that the church was going to build. He knew that he was going to be the builder of the church that the gates of Hades was not going to prevail over. And Peter, how did Peter show his love for Jesus? Through his service. That's how we show our love for our Savior. That's how we show Jesus that we truly love him, is by our service. Jesus gives us freedom from the curse of sin. He paid a debt we could not pay. And he gives us so much, and what does he ask us to do? What's the one thing he asks us to do? Go forth to make more disciples. When we're bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ and we accept him into our life, we're given spiritual gifts, right? Spiritual gifts that edify the body. Right? Not everybody's going to be preaching and teaching. Not everybody's going to have the gift of discernment. Not everybody's going to have the gift of help. But everybody has a gift. Everybody has a talent given to them for edification of the body. The American church today has been turned inward. The American church is not outward going like it should have been, or it was. It's now turned inward because we've become a help society, America. We're all about helping ourselves. So the church has took the trend and went, woe is me. Woe is me. And our focus, and the American church's focus, is inward on the church. Which there should be inward focus on the church to some degree. But that inward focus should only be long enough to train those people to go out. Out. Outward. Outward, outward, outward. I heard a sermon or a Bible study on WBCL the other night that caught my attention, driving around, sort of listening to it, when the Bible teacher said that most Americans on Sunday morning drive up and park in front of a dead box. Oh, dead box, a coffin. And she said, if your church is not producing fruit, it's dead. And that's scripturally correct, right? If you do not produce fruit, you are cut off, right? Our job is to be like Peter and serve Christ. He gave us so much. And we can only show our love back to him through service, telling people about Jesus, getting involved in ministries at the churches, getting involved in things outside the church. The church that you sung about in the first song this morning, the Big C Church, is all the body of believers. Everybody in the world who is bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm just as guilty. I could do more than I do. I share Jesus with everybody I get a chance to. And my job, I am in the dark side of society. Trust me. The country, this state, this county is not the same it was 27 years ago when I started. I spent my nights at hospitals with unwed mothers who were over seven months pregnant. The one is alive today because we Narcan'd her. in a village of 400 people. And she's lucky that somebody was out walking at 1 o'clock in the morning that found her. Because most villages that small, there's nobody out at that time of the night unless they're up to no good. And I sat in that hospital and I prayed for those babies, for that mother, because that is my job. Because what's the Bible tell me? Love the Lord the God with heart, the mind, and soul, and love my neighbor as I do myself. Do I know if Narcan's right or not? I don't know. But you know what? She's alive, the baby's alive. God sent us there for a reason. Is the Narcan any different than I'm allergic to bees? If I get stung by the bees, do you go, ah, you were playing with the bees. That'll teach you. We ain't giving you your EpiPen. Addiction's addiction. A lot of us suffer with addiction. Whether it's gambling, pornography, alcohol, drugs. We all have our problems that we need to turn over to Jesus. We're not perfect. But the point I'm getting at is, if we're not telling people about Jesus, who is? Society has changed. Kids out there don't know Jesus. They don't know who he is. They don't know about Bible school. They don't know about Sunday school. Why? Because we're not telling them. Because we've become inward focused. I remember hearing a guy going, Daryl, man, I'm glad it's Sunday. Go to church on Sunday, and I go to church on Sunday night, and that gets me through to Wednesday, and then I go back to Sunday. You're missing the point. Jesus didn't save you to sit in church and be fed forever. Yes. Do we need to come to church and fellowship? Yes. But Jesus saved you for a reason. He gave you gifts for a reason. We need to be serving Christ. We need to be sharing Jesus with everybody we can. Think about it. How many of us would not be here if somebody wouldn't have took the time to introduce Jesus to us? Think about it. How many people do you know? How many family members? How many loved ones do you know that don't know Jesus? And that was not always an easy thing for me to do. I used to have all the excuses. I'm not the pastor. I don't have the gift of evangelism. Wrong answer. When I grew up in the older, the builder generation, the baby boomer generation, we remember every church every year had revival services. You could spend your summer going from church to revival service. When's the last time you've heard of a revival service? Perfect example, Billy Graham's Crusades. They were big dramatic things at the end. But did you know that it started a year before that crusade? Before the TV part of that Billy Graham? A year before that, Billy Graham's ministry team, boom, hit the city. His church hit the city, passing out tracts, passing out Bibles, having Bible meetings, introducing people to Jesus, sharing the love of Jesus. For a year they started. 365 days later, we saw it all on TV. And we watched that fruit come forward by the hundreds. But that crusade started 365 days before that television event happened. Billy Graham preached a great sermon. But his church did the legwork, passing out tracts, witnessing, Bible study, talking to people, being kind with people, paying it forward. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. This is Peter's first day on the job with the Holy Spirit empowering him, the same Holy Spirit that empowers everybody, the same Holy Spirit you receive when you were bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Same Holy Spirit. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. Not bad for a fisherman. Not bad for a common person. Not bad for an uneducated man. You know what made the difference? Jesus made the difference. The Holy Spirit made the difference. Peter's love for Jesus made him serve Jesus. And through his service, he proved his love for Jesus. And that's what I'm asking from you. Prove your love for Jesus by your service. Get involved in church. Get involved in the ministries in church. Get involved. It's your society. It's your generation. I have a cousin that's been, 15 years in China, sharing the love of Jesus. When she was a little girl, she's a twin. When they were little girls, if you'd have told me that they were going to, yeah, right. But she is, with her husband, with her kids, in fear of going to jail, a fear of being lined up against a wall and shot. China is not a very Christian-friendly country at all. They're there under ruse that they're teachers. Yeah, they're teachers, all right. They're teaching Bible. They're teaching Jesus. But if they get caught, nobody in here fears going to jail. Nobody fears getting put on your knees and a Chinese soldier shooting you in the back of the head if you tell somebody, hey, here's a cup of coffee. I'm going to pray for you today. I do it, and I work for the government. I've done that right in the middle of Shell. Boom. I'll pray for you. With a guy that's so intoxicated, he can't hardly stand up. But you know what? That guy remembered me. And I'm not perfect. I miss my chances. I miss my opportunities. But I take them every chance I get. Because if we don't share Jesus, what's this church going to look like in 10 years? What's our society going to look like in 10 years? We're not the average Church of God. The average Church of God in the Great Lakes Conference and the General Conference is about 25, 30, 50 people at most. We're sending pastors out of Weinberger Seminary, going to churches where they will be in debt paying for the cemetery in their cemetery. Yeah, right. Their seminary till the day they retire. Pastors who have to drive school buses and have other janitor jobs, and they're still full-time pastors for churches. That used to be hundreds that are now down to 25 or 50 people. The only way that those people out there are going to hear about Jesus if we in here go out and serve. We should be preparing all week to worship on Sunday morning. We shouldn't be dragging ourselves in here and going, I'm ready to worship Jesus. I hope he charges me. We should come through that door charged already with stories of people we prayed for, stories of people that we did things for, people that we're bringing to church for the first time. And there's no training needed because you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say, will tell you how to act. I did a sermon a couple years ago on no excuses about everything the Holy Spirit does for you as far as witnessing. It's still online, right, Kyle? Go topical sermons, go no excuses, it'll tell you everything. There's like 10 things the Holy Spirit does. It takes all the work out of it for you. It never amazes me how God can convict me when I prepare a sermon. And I understand not everybody is as passionate about Jesus as I am. Sometimes I drive my wife crazy about it. But we need to serve. Church is not about sitting comfortable. It's about fellowship. It's about training to go out, to be the light of the world, the salt of the world, so that we can fill this place up. So I showed you Peter today, a common person with faults, just like we have, makes mistakes just like we have, sinned just like we have. But through Jesus, can do great things. And I challenge you to love Jesus enough that you do great things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray, dear Lord God, that you allow us to take your word that we've heard today and apply it to our lives, and that you allow us to go forth and be that salt, to be that light, to be those disciples that you called us to be. And that you always allow us to seek out opportunities to share your love. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Won't you stand with me and sing as we close in song with Lord, I Need You.
question for you. Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for this time that you allowed us to spend in fellowship. And we just pray to Lord God that you allow us to take what you've taught us today and apply it to our lives, and that you allow us to go forward and to share it. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.